Welcome to the Wedding Songs Podcast, featuring newly released songs you need to know and the tried and true classics. Get song ideas from the time guests arrive until the last dance of the reception. And now your host, Matt Campbell, founder of MyWeddingSongs.com.
Welcome everybody to the Wedding Songs Podcast. I am Matt Campbell. Today, have you ever wondered what it's like to write a love song? Or maybe you are an aspiring artist. Well, today I have the duo Johnny and Heidi joining me today. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Thank you very much for being on the show. Just to give everybody a little bit of background, can you tell everybody a little bit about yourselves and how you got started in the music industry?
You want me to
go for it, honey.
Okay. I grew up in Orlando, Florida, the happiest place on earth. We had Disney World right down the street. And I think because of that, I got to be around every kind of person they make on this planet. Kind of gave me a good perspective on that. And I loved growing up in Central Florida. I had a lot of really cool stuff you can do down here outside of the theme parks for sure. But being in Orlando wasn't necessarily like a country kind of a place. But in North Florida, where my family's from, I had that kind of woods life, that more rural kind of country life. And I loved it. So I ended up in high school, I started playing guitar, started writing songs when I was about 14-ish. Then I won a singing competition when I was in college. You know, I'd been touring with my band for a long time while I was going to school. And I won a competition called the Colgate Country Showdown, which brought me to Nashville. I'd already kind of been up there writing with a few people. But when I won that competition, that was when it was time to look at school and see if I was going to finish college or not. And Warner Brothers wound up signing me to a writing deal. And I left UCF with a few credit hours left to finish. Don't tell anyone that. But no, obviously everyone just heard. But yeah, that was my big, like, didn't finish school, went on to do music thing like typical musicians do, right? While I was up there, I became friends with a lot of great artists like Chris Young and Lee Bryce and Dan and Shay and a lot of the people in my, as we call it, our class up there. And had a couple of hits on the radio as a songwriter. And somewhere in all that, I met this one in a writer's round.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Kentucky.
That's right. A writer's round we still play to this day every year. You know, we make sure we get out there to Henderson, Kentucky.
Our favorite little spot. My story is a little different. I grew up in a very, very tiny town called Dawson Creek, British Columbia, Canada. I started singing my first solo. I was 3 years old and I did it in church. And then another church was like, oh, well, she should come sing at our church. And then the community production was like, oh, she should come do this. So I started at a very young age, just knew that I wanted to sing. But I was later to the songwriting thing. I didn't start writing songs till I was about 14, 15, maybe 16, even just started to dabble in it. I was fine singing other people's songs as a kid, you know, and doing a lot of music theater and acting and stuff like that. So when I was a teenager and I knew that I wanted to take it more seriously, like this could be a career kind of thing and not just a hobby, that's when I decided I needed to start writing my own music. And I always knew I wanted to do country music because that was the only kind of music outside of like show tunes for acting, everything was just country radio and George Strait records and Reba McEntire records. And that was pretty much it. So I'm country music runs in my blood. It's in my veins. My parents said, you know, you can go to Nashville and you can be a singer, but you have to get a degree first. So I went to college and I became a registered nurse. And then the day I found out I passed my boards, my parents said, okay, have fun. And I packed up the car. And that day I moved to Nashville. So I didn't clock 1 hour as a nurse, not a single hour. And yeah, moved to Nashville. We actually moved there the same, like even within the same month. We both moved there in 2010. And it just took us a few years to find each other. You know,
way too long. But yeah, that was the.
But that, you know, that was kind of our road to Nashville story. So we kind of come from two really opposite ends of the continent and wound up there together.
That's where we differed too, is I did have a little bit of like pop and rock influence right. Coming up, and Heidi was through and through country. We both sang in church.
Gospel as the backbone. And then, yeah, he leaned pop and rock and I leaned country.
Well, I was the school of Garth.
Right.
Which pop and rock, he did a lot of that stuff, and you were more of a George Strait.
So I have to ask then, when you guys get in an argument, Heidi, you can always say, well, you know, I'm the one who has the degree. I'm smarter than you.
That's right. Hey, I graduated.
That is right.
Thank you, Matt. I'm going to
wait for her to start using that one.
So how small of a city then?
About 10,000, like a one
Okay.
high school kind of town.
Yeah. So I'm originally from Montana, and there's 30,000
Okay.
in my hometown. I know what you're saying.
Get it?
Yes,
Yeah.
in those small towns. Yeah, it's as a mobile DJ, it was rock, it was country, and it was top 40.
Yeah.
I was good.
Those were the days
Funny.
when rock had a channel, and you know what I mean? I think that's
Yep.
radio's changed quite a bit those days.
For sure. There are many country couples that are famous: Johnny and June, Tim and Faith, Blake and Gwen. Are there any couples that you guys look up to?
Yeah, it wouldn't necessarily be in the artist. I'm a big Garth fan, and she loves Trisha. So I mean, we look up to them. But as far as like the way I would look up to a couple, it would be their relationship. And it's kind of hard to know what their relationships are like. But we know a lot of great songwriters that we love their relationship.
Yeah.
Like Jason Matthews and his wife Debbie
Yeah.
are very, very much supportive and loving to each other, which
They're a team. I think teamwork is,
they're never going to leave each other kind of
yeah,
thing. And
do everything together. We do everything like we are literally together 24/7. We work together, which in our job is a 24/7 job. You know, you get emails at 2 a.m. and you get meetings at 8 a.m. It just, you're always on the clock kind of thing. And so we are literally side by side every minute of every day. So you have to be a good team. And so I think teamwork is something important.
You might find out that some of the, and I won't name any names or anything because I don't really have any in my head, but when you find out that like some couples don't even have the same bus when they're on tour or something, like
Right.
I just couldn't imagine that. Heidi and I, this duo was formed out of the fact that we realized we didn't want to be away from each other. And
Right.
we realized that when we realized that our parents were both that way. They never can get enough of each other, I guess, is kind of the thing. And I know that's not how everybody's relationship is. Some people like being independent and having their own stuff, but yeah, we are
Pretty lucky in
pretty
that
lucky in the fact that I don't really need a whole lot of
department.
friends, because I got, my best one is here working with me all the time, and
Yeah. I will
I like having friends, but I don't
go
need
ahead,
them
but
as much, you know.
I will say this just popped into my head. Chris Stapleton and his wife, I think, would be a great example of that. The artist that is a good team and their love story. They work together, they sing together, perform. He's told a cute story about how he's like, I need her on stage with me. You know, it's
Man.
people, everyone knows Chris Stapleton, but people don't realize that's his wife often that's singing harmonies beside him. And he said in an interview that he was having panic attacks and things like that. And he's like, I need her by my side. She's my support on stage. And I thought that was really special that they get to do that together and they get and support each other and help each other. And they get to have a great career together that he might not have otherwise if she wasn't able to do that for him,
Right.
perhaps.
Yep. It's the best getting to work together like that.
And I think probably just to stereotype a little bit, I think the couples that you don't hear about are the ones that are successful. You talked a little bit about this. How would you describe your music style?
Singer-songwriter, I would say.
Yeah, Heidi probably paints herself into a box more than she should with the country thing, because she has incredible pop and rock sensibilities and a great understanding of all genres. And I lean on her a lot, even in genres I would say that I excel in. I would still lean on her because she's just overall great musically. But yeah, singer-songwriter, whatever we often do with a lot of our writes, it's kind of whatever song needs to be written that day is the one that we write, you know? And I think that's a singer-songwriter trait where we don't put ourselves in one genre.
We write the song and we can leave a lot of that up to production because, and I know that we're going to get to the custom songwriting talk in a bit, but before we get to that, we do a lot of writing with, I'd say half of the writing that we do is we volunteer to write with veterans through a program called Creative Vets, where we help write their story, wounded combat veterans, whatever they've gone through, whatever they want to write about. A lot of them hate country music. They're like, no, I don't want to write a country song, you know, but we're just the songwriters. So that's fine. You hate country music? That's fine. Lots of people do. And so we're just in the room to write the song and write their story. And we can shape that in production after. You want it to have a rock undertow? Perfect. Tell the producer to lean this way. But that allows us to be very chameleon-ish if we, you know, as the
Chameleon-ish. I
chameleon-ish,
like
you
that.
know, if we're the songwriter. And so we're writing the story.
I think exactly what you're saying, how it connects with the finished product. You could write a song, it's your story, but then John Legend could take it in one direction, or One Direction could take it in one direction. You know, it just depends on how those artists can just take that song and make it their own, and you're
Right.
just giving them that inspiration.
Well, it's been proven a bunch
I
of
will
times.
always love you. Look
Right.
at Dolly Parton versus Whitney Houston. You couldn't have two more separate styles of music, and they each made it the biggest song in their genre.
Right.
So, And it was just a good song. And it could be produced this way. It could be produced this way.
You got Travis Tritt with Take It Easy. He did a
Oh, yeah.
great cover.
Oh, I love his cover of the
Clint
Eagles.
Black did Desperado in a
Desperado.
great way. And then more recently, you know, you've got songs like Fast Car with Luke Combs, where you
Yeah.
know, you sit there and you think your whole life, well, that's a pop song, Tracy Chapman. And then you hear it produced with a steel guitar or whatever they put
And
on
you
it to
go,
make it
it's a
country. And
country
you're like,
song.
oh, yeah, all these songs, you can even pick some of the boy band stuff. Alabama did an NSYNC song.
Oh, that's right.
Right.
God
Must
must
have
have
spent
spent
a
you a
more,
little
little more
bit.
time on you and did a great job with it. It's all melodies and lyric outside of like EDM type music. If it can be performed acoustically, then it can be produced, I think,
In
in almost any
it.
direction you want.
Let's get a little bit more about you guys. I'm going to put you on a pedestal a little bit because you've written several awesome wedding songs, like my favorite, Never Not Loving You, Time With You, and I Don't Know Any Better. Do you think about the songs being played at weddings when writing the songs or producing the songs?
Well, two of those were custom rights. So Never Not Loving You, we wrote with someone that was surprising their wife on their 20th anniversary. So that was very much their story. And then Time With You, we wrote with a female veteran and her fiance for their first dance. So that is their story. And then I Don't Know Any Better is our story. And then you take it from there.
Well, I Don't Know Any Better was an accident. We were just trying to write a normal
Just a good song that day.
song, and I did the I Don't Know Any Better. And then she answered it in harmony together. And that song wanted to be a
It
duet. And
became a
it,
duet after we wrote the chorus. Yeah.
but yeah, when you write a song, a lot of songwriters, a cool exercise to do while you're writing it to make sure that it makes sense and that it feels right is to kind of write the music video while you're doing it. And oftentimes, especially with like I Don't Know Any Better and Time With You, there was a point where we were like, this is a first dance song. Like there is a point, songwriters have that mode where they go, oh, this is a wedding thing.
Yeah.
Or this is a whatever part of a wedding. So then you start thinking about the song in terms of what wouldn't you want said at a wedding? So, like for instance, a good for instance for a wedding song is in a lot of love songs, you might have mention of the past. You might have an ex, like an ex, like
Broken
a
heart
this.
or negative or
And some people
something.
want that at their wedding. They don't mind the whole God bless the broken road approach. But even that song doesn't really talk about it very much. Because who wants on their wedding day to hear, and then those girls I dated,
Yeah, you're
you
like,
know, like
oh,
they don't want
okay.
that brought up during the first dance or the guy you let. It's just not something they want discussed. So you put things like that, you keep things like that in mind to make sure nothing's off-putting for a wedding day kind of a
Yeah,
song.
so we'll switch gears, but yeah, planning out, oh, when she walks down the aisle, or this is would be a great time when the doors open and then the band can kick in. So yeah, we kind of keep all those things in mind as we're going.
And one of my favorites is then you realize some people aren't paying attention to the lyrics anyway, because every now and then you'll get like someone ask for a wedding, they'll go, can you sing like I Will Always Love You? And I'm like, I don't know if you want that at your wedding. It's a breakup song.
It's
It's the
a sad
saddest
song.
song ever. They're like, it's my favorite love song. I'm like, but you probably run into that, Matt, where you realize that people aren't actually considering the lyric all the time.
It's surprising. It's happening more and more. Actually, past episode, maybe 3 or 4 ago, we were talking about Run Around Sue, how it's a great upbeat song. Everybody, yeah, but it's a breakup song.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone on the dance floor, let's celebrate this new union of marriage. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Or I do it at our cover gig sometimes. I'll do that song, Follow
Follow
Me,
Me.
which is just a whole song about a musician trying to get a girl to cheat on her husband with him. But it's Follow Me, everything's all right.
Yeah.
I'll be the one to tuck you in at night.
I don't
And
care about that ring you
yeah, I don't
wear.
care about that ring you wear. Because as long as no one knows, then nobody can care. Yeah, it's just a nice, upbeat, like fun song about cheating.
It's not obvious, like all my exes live in Texas.
Right,
Yeah.
right. A little
Yeah.
less obvious,
A little more
yeah.
on the nose.
Can you walk us through the process then for writing a song?
Never the same.
Yep.
I don't think we've ever, I mean, like fingerprints, songwriting is. And there's this initial hang, depending on how well your co-writers, if it's a first time write, like Heidi and I don't have to do the catch up on each other, get to know each other thing, obviously. So we can get right into writing. But in a normal Nashville co-write, you have this little dance you do at the beginning where you're kind of getting to know each other, trying to see where your instincts and your talents kind of overlap with the other person, and then see where the song comes from that. Oftentimes, people will come in with tons of hooks and ideas ready to go, whether it's a half chorus or just a general idea or a hook. And when I say hook in country music, that usually means like the last line of the song or the title of the song, because we tend to write songs in that way. A hook for a pop person like from LA is typically the whole chorus or whatever the big overall hook is, the production hook for the song. When we say hook, we typically mean it as a lyric, a specific line or lyric.
The turn at the end of the chorus.
Yeah, the thing that, well, I will always love you is the hook for I will always love you. But just like I don't know any better is the hook for that. As far as the way it starts, if we have nothing to go off of, like no one has a hook ready to go and we're just kind of feeling it out, it's literally that. We will sit there and chat and talk, get to know each other. And then someone eventually, like songwriters have a thing. If they're true songwriters, they accidentally speak in lyrics a lot of the time.
And hopefully someone in the room is listening and goes, wait, what did you just say?
Well,
that was cool.
That's the thing is sometimes we don't realize we've done it. I'll say something and Heidi will go, oh, that's really cool. Write that down. And I'm like, oh.
Said like that before.
And vice versa. We'll help each other in that way. And
so that's if no one has an idea, which is rare. We're trained as staff songwriters. It's kind of like a no-no. You kind of don't want to get into the writer's room and not bring anything to it. It's kind of like.
But if you've written 600 songs that year and you just kind of.
But especially like when we're coaching, like we do a lot of like mentorship and stuff. So if we're teaching like up and coming writers, we're always like, never go into the room empty handed. Have 10 ideas, have them thought out, have a hook, have an idea of where you're going. Cause when you get into the writer's room, you don't want to go, well, I'm here to work, but I don't know. I don't have anything. What do you have? I have nothing. And you're like, oh no. Well, we're going to have to dig. So it's always a good idea to kind of go in semi-prepared kind of thing. But if we're talking like the custom writing thing that Johnny and I do, where we write wedding songs and things like that, we're interviewing Matt Campbell. And Matt Campbell, you want a song for your bride to walk down the aisle to. Tell us about her. What does she look like? What do you love about her? How did you meet? Tell us your love story. What are some of her quirks? And then we get really specific because this has to be, none of this is cookie cutter or recycled. This is all brand new, original, your story. So then we'll go, we don't want to say, oh, your green eyes shine if she has brown eyes. So we need to know things like that. When it comes to wedding, family's often a big part of it. Do you call your dad, dad, daddy, father? Do you call your mom, mama, mom, mother? You know, because we don't want to go, hey, mama. And then they hear it and they go, I would never call my mom, mama. Yeah. And we're like, oh, well, it's too late. We can't say mother because it rhymes. So we know what kind of specific things matter for that song.
And we also know what
religious undertows too. Like, can we say, oh, I thank God for you? Some people want that. Some people don't. We don't want to write that if you don't want that. So we ask all kinds of questions to make sure that it's what
right.
we want.
Because we know what our natural things that words we naturally want to, because right. you're going to call mama. I call my mama, mama.
Right.
So I'm going to put mama in the song. Often we'll in language use terms like, and then God sent her down.
Yeah.
We are Christian, but not everybody we work with is. So we just want to make sure it fits for them. And
it's true to their story. Because I want people to listen to this song for the rest of their lives. They're going to make a wedding montage and they're going to put it on YouTube with a slideshow of their photos and they're going to share that with their friends. And I want that song to make them cry every time they hear it because they go, oh, that's my story, you know?
Well, and it's the cool thing is Heidi and I, we've used songs writing as our own therapy forever. And yeah. Have you ever looked through a photo album and those pictures hit you near as hard as listening to a song you wrote during a certain time?
No.
Like you almost see the moments more vividly through the
music.
Song than you do actually looking at them in the picture.
That's so
weird.
True.
It's weird, but yeah.
That could be a great song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Powerful, you know, it really is.
Yeah. I'm so glad you brought up about the custom songs because just working with professional songwriters, I think that it brings it to a different level that isn't out there or available. And I love that you offer that service. Working with the vets, like you said, creating songs for them as well. Can you just talk a little bit more about that?
Writing with the veterans has been the best thing I've got to do in my career. It's been life-changing, really. It's more than just like a career game changer. It's been a life changer. We've been given a skill, Johnny and I, and that is to write songs and to perform them, to sing. And sometimes you struggle. You go, well, what do I do with this talent or this skill? How do I use it? And the music industry is very heartbreaking and ruthless and awful a lot of the times, you know. It can
makes
be,
you just want to get a normal job.
Makes you kind of want to wish you would have got a 9-to-5 and use that nursing degree. But at the end of the day, I'm so happy that we do push through and we do persevere because it is worth it a lot of the times. We've seen a lot of beautiful things come of it, like writing with veterans, like getting to sit down with them and have them tell you their story and what they've been through. And getting to put that into a song, taking it out of your ear, which keeps you up at night and keeps you fighting over it in your mind or reliving it or having those ugly memories or those bad memories, and you take them out and you put it in a song, and then it's like it's not living in you anymore. It's now in a song, and you can listen to that song and you can enjoy it and relive it, but it lives there now. It doesn't live in here anymore. And that's kind of the point of Creative Etz, is that they're helping people heal through music. And it's just been the greatest thing we've got to do, to sit down, tell their story, write it in a song, and give it to them and watch them go, oh my goodness, I haven't been able to talk about this since I got home from Vietnam in 1969. And now I was finally able to talk about it. Like, that's important stuff.
And they don't have to talk about it again. Because a veteran, think about it, one of those warriors doesn't like to cry in front of people very often.
So they don't want to talk about it.
So, yeah, but once you get it out, you can kind of go, here's my story, listen to it. And they can watch you listen to it. And they can kind of like, I don't know, it's just the coolest thing to go, this is how I feel, put it into music, and then play it for somebody and see them at the moments when you think they're going to go, see them do that. It lets you know I'm not alone. Other people feel exactly the same way. And writing with the veterans keeps us so sharp. With one of the skills you have to learn as a staff songwriter in Nashville is you have to be ready to write a radio ready hit any time of day, any condition, sick or whatever. If the opportunity is there, you have to be ready to write a song. So the veterans keep us really sharp because they aren't typically songwriters in the room. So me and Heidi are actually getting to sharpen a blade or sharpen a skill that is pretty cool and unique, is we don't necessarily need the third to be musical, or even in a lot of ways, just an input, a story that they put into this machine of songwriting. And then whatever gets made on the other side is a kind of a perfect mixture of that story and then our experience in Nashville as writers.
Well, I have to say thank you for offering that, because even though I was never in the service, we definitely have family members, parents, grandparents that were in the service and were in wartime. So yes, I think that's such a wonderful thing that you guys are doing. Time for a quick break from the show to let you know about the Wedding Music Letter. Are you struggling to find the wedding songs that match your personality and music style? Are you having a hard time keeping up with the new wedding songs being released? Then subscribe today to the Wedding Music Letter by going to my website, myweddingsongs.com, and clicking on the Join Now button. Every Wednesday, you'll get song ideas to build your wedding playlists. On the last day of the month, you'll get all of the new wedding songs released from the prior month. So subscribe today and join over 7,000 other engaged couples and wedding pros by going to myweddingsongs.com and joining the Wedding Music Letter today. Now back to the show. Just to bring it back just a little bit, can you talk about writing the custom songs? We're always talking about the couple that's getting married, but I also think about parents and grandparents writing a song that's their story, but then passing that on to the future generations to say, hey, maybe you've never heard our story. Now here it is in the song.
We've done that. We actually wrote one with my grandparents.
I tell them,
it's
it was
the
so cool.
Coolest. I mean, getting to see my grandpa, who is a Marine and a boxing champion from the Marines. He was served during Korea, and he's just the toughest guy ever. He's still got muscles from digging ditches in the military. He just doesn't get emotional like that. And getting to see him here, we interviewed my grandparents, got to hear their whole story. And we decided after hearing the story, because this was obviously just for a present for them, something we wanted to do. They're getting up there in years, and we wanted to do something nice for them. So we write their song, and in the middle of it, we were going to write, like, think of like a Brad Paisley, what was his big song? All Because Two People Fell in Love. We thought going in, we were going to write some big song about, we're all here because of you, Grandma and Grandpa. And we realized Grandma and Grandpa kept talking about a specific part of their life. It was when they met, they eloped young, and it was one of those super
teenage love,
just classic love story,
and all the elements of right down to the clothing and the cars they drove and the bikes, and that they could go to a show and the pool for a dime, and all these stories that we got, and we put it in that moment. So we wrote the song as if we were in 1950 and the style of music. So it's a very doo-wop, shoo-wop kind of song. Yep. And
it was so fun to write a doo-wop song. I put on my crooner, like,
yeah, he sang like a crooner,
the Elvis kind of voice, and I got a dream, you know, like doing all that stuff. And it turned out so cool. We wrote a song that if their favorite artist wrote a song about their lives, when they were in high school, what would it have sounded like? And it's called Forever for Two. We have to add that to stream.
Yeah,
like we haven't learned that or anything. That was all right before Christmas. So we've been kind of playing catch up this year. Yeah.
But yeah, we've had fun being able to capture. Yeah. So it's not like, oh, we're just going to produce it the way Johnny and Heidi would produce it. It's what do you want? How do you want it to sound? And so we've had a lot of fun getting to, like, we really custom those details. And it's been a fun challenge for us to learn other instruments and other production tools and other production styles and phrasing and singing, like all of it. So we try to make it as best that we can.
Yeah, we've done a bunch of different stuff. We've written songs for people's businesses. We've written company songs, whether it's a jingle. We wrote a song for a guy's book that he wrote.
Yes.
We've written songs
for a motivational speaker that does speaking engagements for their walkout song. We've written a campaign for a teeth brushing campaign.
Oh, yeah.
Like brush a dentist, teeth, y'all. An Asian dentist campaign. Yeah, so
a newborn kid.
First birthday, a mom wanted a song for her baby girl's first birthday party. A letter to what she would say to her little girl growing up. So yeah, we've done all kinds of occasions and
we go at this like there's a version of this where we could kind of phone it in, but and just kind of write something in. And
we don't have that gear.
But we don't have that gear. We like to take all the time. We pretend that the third person in the room is Garth or George Strait, and we're going, how am I going to get on this next record? And we write like we're writing it for the radio. And we produce it the same way. And
that's a good way of putting it. We write it as if we want that number one spot. So we put everything into it because we want that number one spot. And that's how it was just kind of trained into it. You know, Johnny and I were both staff songwriters in Nashville for over a decade. And it's when he goes, we don't phone it in. It's just kind of trained into you. Like, you don't want to put your name on something that you can't be wholeheartedly proud of. I don't want, if you write a bad song and someone's like, oh, I wrote this with Johnny and Heidi, I'd go, oh my gosh, no, don't, you know what I mean? So I'm like, no, I have to make sure I can't phone it in. I need to be super proud of this if I'm going to put my name on it. So we try to have everything at that level.
Right.
So instead of saving this till the end, how can people contact you about a custom song?
The Johnny and Heidi Show at gmail.com. Or if that's too much, we're the only Johnny and Heidi out there, so we're kind of lucky. You can send us a message on Facebook, Instagram. Our website is just johnnyandheidi.com, and you can send us a message from there. We're pretty easy to find.
Awesome. I didn't want to save that to the end because that was a great story about writing the songs. What would you say is the most important ingredient to writing a great love song?
The subject, the story.
The love? Yeah, the love itself is. So there's two ways of looking at that. I can write a pretty solid love song that I make up, right?
Yeah.
But that's because I've always been obsessed with it. Romantic stuff. I'm that. Yes, I played football and was a jock and all that stuff. But I also was, when my friends are like, we're going to see the new whatever boxing movie, I'm like, cool, I'm going to watch The Notebook and write a song about it. Yeah. But yeah.
It's a hopeless romantic. I love it.
So I kind of already have that input in my head anyway. Heidi does as well. But really, when it comes to the love song, even for us, my love songs got better when we got together, right? That input going in. It's the same thing as a breakup song. You want a great breakup song? Have the most wonderful love end. You know what I mean?
Right? It was
have
someone that end. Going through a breakup.
If it's a bad relationship and a breakup, the song's probably not going to be that great. I think that the songwriting itself is, we all, as songwriters, we can write songs whenever we need to. And then there's that gasoline you throw on the fire. And whatever that gasoline is, whether it's, in my grandparents' case, it's the fact that they eloped because my great-grandmother was not a fan of my grandpa. So the fact that they had to run away together, that's some gasoline on the fire, you know?
57 Chevy, like all these little details that we might not have thought to make up. If
yeah.
We didn't have
the
that
actual story.
Story.
Right. Yeah.
That's awesome. I agree. I think of movies like Coyote Ugly where they experience it. And then once they experience it, they express that in the song. And that's what makes the song great. Not just writing about something you heard
right.
about.
We do have to debunk something we see a lot in a lot of these movies. Like A Star Is Born. The songwriters, oh, I just had this feeling. And then like 2 seconds later, they have a fully formed song. And the band knows it.
Yeah.
And then, you know what I mean? And you're kind of like.
And without doing a sound check or rehearsal, yeah. We're going to play it right now all together. And we know our parts and our harmony parts. And the band knows it. And Johnny and I are like.
The bands, now I will say the bands in Nashville are incredible. And they will learn a song almost instantly if someone charts.
Chart.
But not without, not just following along. Like, yeah,
to 30,000 people. But we love those shows. It's fun.
Yeah.
Everybody has their expertise. That's throwing that in there. As singer-songwriters, do other musicians take claim to your songs or produce your songs? How does that work?
You mean like a traditional cut, like when someone cuts a song or records them? Or
well,
how do you mean?
I was thinking, because you were talking about you've written songs that other artists have picked up.
Okay, it's cut.
Like a cut. Okay. And there's different kinds of cuts. There's an album cut, which means it's just on the album. And then there's singles. Writers typically want to get those singles because that's where you make money. And oftentimes, if you have a publishing deal, an album cut just goes towards recouping your draw.
It goes on your resume, but it doesn't necessarily help your bank account.
Right.
It's something you can brag about. Oh, I got a cut with so-and-so, but it might not have financially been beneficial.
So as far as getting them cut, the way that works is typically like a leasing situation. We still own the song. It's just whatever they use it for, whether it's the name of the tour or if it's on merch or if it's on the radio, we all get reimbursed a little bit from
royalties on the
back end. And when I say a little bit, I mean a very little bit. They had to invent a new term called a micro penny for how much we get paid. Unfortunately, they haven't figured out, the laws on that yet. But yeah, getting a song cut is great. And that's the goal. Heidi's had, obviously, she's got a lot of cuts on Heidi Ray on her records.
Yeah.
She was an artist, a solo artist, and toured and did the radio tour thing and had songs on the charts and all that stuff. So she's had cuts that way. She's also gotten what we call an outside, completely outside cut. And that's a traditional type of cut in Nashville where her plugger pitches the song to an artist, and that artist, without knowing Heidi, wants to cut the song.
They have no ties to it. They don't own any part of it. They're not, it's not their writer or they own any publishing on it. It's just totally like, oh, I like that song, I'll record it.
And that's the purest type of cut, I think, the most traditional, purest type of cut in Nashville. One that you can be the most proud of, too, because you wrote a song and all that happened was that artist heard it and then recorded it.
Those are both of yours.
No, I was going to say the other way is being in the camps and being close with them. And not that, I mean, Chris also loved the song.
Yeah,
he really loved the song.
Because he was your friend.
But I also got to play him like 50 songs that day. You know what I mean? And not every writer gets that much exposure with an artist. Like Heidi had to kind of go, what is my best one for this particular artist? And I had an afternoon with Chris and he's like, I want to hear everything you've written this month. So that's a way easier pitch. They're both very difficult, but that's the easiest pitch. And then in the case with Lee Bryce, with the song there, I wrote the song with someone who was introduced to me by Chris Young, who was also best friends with Lee Bryce and was the producer of Lee Bryce. So that kind of networking, even more now than ever, I think being in those camps, in those groups is how songs get cut. Because if you look at artists now, it's not like it used to be where there's a bunch of writers and they're on every project a little bit. It's kind of like Luke Combs has these writers and this is who he's working with all the time. And yeah, that's a product of there's not as much money as there
to
used
go around,
to be.
Yeah.
There used to be many more writers in Nashville working and making a living than there is now. Unfortunately, but yeah.
So you're not reaching out to Lainey Wilson. Hey, what are you doing for lunch? I got some ideas.
Our publisher would do that. They would go, it's more the other way. Like Warner Brothers would reach out to our publisher and go, currently Lainey Wilson and Blake Shelton and blah, blah, blah are recording. What do you have for these three artists? And then our publishers would go, oh, I got these two for Lainey and I have this one for Blake and I have these four for Dierks Bentley. And so then our publisher would take those eight songs and go have a meeting and play those eight songs for the A&R person at Warner and hopes that they go, I think I'll take that one for Blake, but I'll pass on the rest. So we're hoping that they just take one.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean they cut it. That just means I like it enough to then play it for someone else at Warner. The chain, in order to get a cut, it has to go through many steps.
Then they put it, this is how scary it is too, because you'll be like, oh, they took it in a meeting. They took it. And then you'll get a call and they'll put it on hold, which means
Yeah, so step one is that they took the song.
Yeah,
that's
they take
good.
The song.
That's step one.
Then once it's on hold, they're like, please don't pitch this to anyone, which you kind of can still pitch it. But they're like, please don't pitch this to anyone else. We think we might record it. And then they might record it. And it still doesn't mean it's on the record. Now you've got I have so many songs out there recorded by some of my favorite artists.
Major artists.
That I love. The recording's great. It's just when it came time to record time, it didn't quite make the record. Either they cut two songs that were similar
Didn't
or
fit with the other
didn't fit with the
songs,
other songs. The
or they didn't
production
want to sing it live is another thing. Like
very
maybe the
often
song is too
very
challenging.
difficult to do live every night. They might go, this one has the same impact. There's a bunch of different
There's a lot of
reasons why
reasons.
a song would get recorded and then not make the record. But those are the tough ones when you've had a song on a record for months and you know it's coming out, and then a week before it comes out, they go, hey, we had to drop the song from the record, but hey, we might use it in a future
Yeah.
project. And you're like, no, you won't.
It kind of keeps us like, oh.
That recently happened to Morgan Wallen, where the old record label was going to release the album and some of the songs he didn't authorize. So he quickly re-released one of the songs that's a major love song that just came out in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
That was his way of getting around what the label was doing or something. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Kind of the Taylor Swift effect where, okay, you guys own the music, but you're gonna claim it yourself and release it. Well, I'm gonna release it myself so I
Right,
can
new
get that.
version. Okay, yeah, it's sidestepping the label. Hopefully it what it does is promotes a more fair system in the future. Because at every turn in the industry, I'm not saying everybody's trying to cheat anybody in the industry, but no one's doing anything to make it where it's difficult. It is set up in a way it's easy to take advantage of naive, talented people who just don't know any better. Like the things I know now compared to my first day in Nashville, I would have made a lot of
Oh,
different
yeah.
decisions, but
Yeah.
it's almost like the system's set up to where sometimes if you were a conspiracy theorist, you'd be like, oh, I just feel like they don't want me to know these things so that I'm easier to manipulate. But until they start changing the system to where those people aren't, that's what I mean. Not everybody's doing that, but everyone could if they
Right.
wanted to. All the labels could if they wanted to. All the fill in the blank profession could if they wanted to.
And hopefully change is a coming because there's big artists, Beyonce, Taylor Swift, that could change the industry, and hopefully they're able to, so that way the micro payments don't happen any longer, that
That'd be
everybody's,
nice.
yeah.
Well, I love the artists that do that. The one, because they don't have to. They've already made all their money. They've had all their success. They're good. But the ones that turn around and go, you know, this is what I saw was unjust on
Let's
my
make it
way up. Let's
fair.
make it
Yeah.
better. I like people like that.
Can you guys just talk a little more about what you guys are doing? Because I know that you have a Twitch following, you have Discord, you have private concerts that you're putting together. You're creating a super fan, as we like to say, in your community. What are some of the things that you guys are doing?
Well, we do a Twitch stream Mondays and Wednesdays, and we are typically gigging Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday somewhere. We do our custom songwriting during the week. We'll squeeze that in, sometime between Monday and Thursday, and then we're also record and write during the week. We perform pretty much every night and every weekend night.
It's easier to name the things we don't.
We still work in the Nashville industry, so even though we live in Florida, it's one of the beauties of Zoom and how technology has allowed us to live at the beach, but still work in on Music Row essentially. So every morning could be different. We'll open up and it'll be an inbox full of, hey, can you demo this? Hey, I need a vocal on this. Hey, can you re-sing this? Hey, can you pitch this? We need bios here. We need it. So
Which is why sometimes you've seen us have to cancel stream
yeah.
a lot and
Sometimes the Nashville side will maybe take precedence for a week and we're like, oh, we're all busy on the industry side. And then the next week, it might be just booking beach bars down in Florida and that keeps us busy. And the next week, we might be up to our eyeballs in custom songwriting in the studio, putting out our own songs or recording the custom songs, or we're in Maine writing songs with veterans. Every week is, we're just kind of like this all the time.
Heidi and I will lay in bed at night and daydream and go, imagine what a routine would feel like being able to do the same thing 2 days in a
We
row.
never wake up at the same time. We never go to bed at the same time. We never eat a meal at the same time. Every day is different. Every day.
But it's fun. It's
Yeah, we
exciting.
love it.
On your Twitch, though, you were talking about that you're doing that a couple times a week. Can you just talk a little bit about that process of connecting with the audience, some of the things that you do on your streams that I think is unique?
Well, we're very self-deprecating. We don't have the traditional artist ego, I guess. I'm not afraid to be
We get
silly.
Silly on.
We get really silly.
Our Twitch stream is much different than our live show. Like our live show is we're very professional, you know, and we've been doing this long, you know, and we do our Nashville Songwriter professional show. And Twitch is very silly, casual, laid back. We make mistakes and laugh at it, and we play games and laugh at it, and we poke fun at each other.
Heidi draws. We do this thing called Pick-a-mature, which is picture and amateur together, because neither of us can draw. But we'll do that when, like, if there's not a request and somebody's like, oh, we want to have a good laugh, like a break between songs, we'll sit there and do a Pick-a-mature thing. I know what she's drawing, but the chat doesn't know what she's drawing, so they have to guess, like a Pictionary. And
we do trivia. We do fun trivia.
Things called song swaps, where our community can have me sing a song that Heidi normally does, and we have a community member who loves to get me to do Taylor Swift and stuff. And
which then, Johnny loves.
Oh, it's the best.
Loves that.
Yes. And then we have
all kinds of ways that our community, we've given them several ways through channel points, which you can earn through watching us. It's free. It's a currency that doesn't matter. They can spend 100 channel points and make Johnny sing one of my songs, and they can take away the lyrics. Silly things like that, where
that's,
you know,
possible.
Take the lyrics away, and then he's playing and has no idea what the lyrics are. So he's like fumbling through or making them up.
Yeah, unworded are personal nightmare for me.
Yeah,
I panic. We use our tablets with lyrics and chords, and then you try to remember them, and it's always awful.
And you take it away. So we've armed them with all kinds of like really fun, harmless ways to
troll us.
To troll us, make the show just funnier. You know, just a little more interesting, I guess. But we just have fun with it. It's a very laid back, casual experience, people, and it's all because it's live and there's a chat. People will ask questions anywhere from what did you eat dinner today, if they've been a longtime community member and they are genuinely interested on what we ate for dinner. And some people just popped in 2 minutes ago and they're like, oh, who are you guys? What do you do? What kind of music do you do? Or some people go, hey, I want to move to Nashville and be a country singer. What advice do you have for me? So it's fun that we never know what the stream is going to be and what kind of discussion we're going to have. And it's, again, like our lives, every stream is different, just depending on who's watching and who's talking and what songs get requested. Sometimes it'll be a really normal stream where we just sing our usual songs, and then sometimes we have a stream where like everything goes wrong and it's just we're laughing and we're just a hot mess the whole time. So you never know what you're gonna get.
I think as a viewer, you feel like you get to know you and your personalities and that connection. And I think that creating those, like I said, super fans of followers, it's just awesome. So if you're not tuning into their twits, make sure that you do today.
Yeah, it's like being in the green room. That is cool. I've never thought of it that way, but like, yeah, our normal shows, we're up there. The people at those shows, they don't care how silly we are. They want to hear us sing a song really well. And then the people who show up at the stream might be more interested in getting to know us. And yeah, it's my favorite way that it happens. I feel like I get to know them. I'd rather them know me too. And you know, so
do you have any upcoming releases or projects that you want to share with everybody?
It's one of those things we are creating every day. I don't have a date like, oh, our next single is dropping here.
I would encourage people to follow our YouTube
channel.
We currently don't have a lot going on in that channel. It's been a little inactive, but as soon as we get the time freed up, we are going to be putting a lot of content out on that.
Yeah, we've been doing a lot of the pre-production on this side of things, on like mapping things out, planning things out. So we've been doing kind of like the less glamorous side of things, unfortunately. It's coming soon, but if you want to go to johnnyandheidi.com, all our tour dates are there. We've booked over 100 shows so far just for the year, and we add dates every day. So this is probably going to be, we typically do between 100 and 150 dates a year, which is a pretty heavy tour schedule. Those are just the live shows. That's not Twitch included. And this year, I think we're probably going to pass that.
Because we do 100 streams-ish, too.
We play a lot of music. So chances are, if you're in the area, you'll find us one day. But I tell people, go to johnnyandheidi.com. That's where our tour dates are. And if you sign up at the bottom of our website, we only send out one email a month. On the first of every month, we send out a, here's where we're playing this month. And then you might go, oh my goodness, you're coming to my hometown. I'll see you next week. You know, so I just encourage people to go there. It's a good way to stay in touch with us. And maybe we'll get to meet you on the road.
One final question. Is there anything that we didn't talk about that you wanted to bring up today?
I think mine was going to be the YouTube thing. But yeah, I mean, basically we have all the different ways you can consume. Like if it's streaming just music from Spotify or YouTube Music or Apple Music, You got that. If you want to come hang out with us live on Twitch, you got that. We're about to do the video content, the
For
YouTube
YouTube.
thing, and try to just make sure all the different ways that you can consume a musical artist or a content creator, that we have all those covered and working in tandem and seamlessly. And because I know there's people who are like, yeah, I'll watch a YouTube video, but I'm not going to hang out for the Twitch
Right.
stream. Or I don't want to watch the YouTube video. I want to come hang out for the Twitch stream.
Yeah, all kinds of kinds. So we
But
try to accommodate.
yeah, we try to have everything covered.
If you're interested in a custom song, just reach out to us. And if you are a veteran or you know a veteran that could benefit from the Creative Vets program, it's creativevets.org. So CREATIVETS, creative, like creative. But if you're a veteran and you could benefit from some music therapy, or if you know someone who could, maybe you go, oh my goodness, my dad needs to tell his story and he could benefit from this. Please see Creative Vets. They're changing and saving lives. So make sure you see them.
I tell you what, we'll add those links in the show notes so everybody can easily find that information. Thank you guys so much for being on the show today. It's been a pleasure talking about you guys and the music industry. Thanks everybody for listening, and stay tuned for another episode of the Wedding Songs Podcast every Thursday morning. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Wedding Songs Podcast. Never miss a future episode. Subscribe today to our podcast. Follow us on Facebook at My Wedding Songs and send us a message about playlists you would like covered.